Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all he has and buys it." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The essence of Christianity is God's love for us and all that God did in coming into our world to save us. But the essence of the Christian response to that love is contained in these two small parables. And when we recognize the gift of God, we seize it with joy. Jesus is trying to emphasize the main point of the response that he's asking as he crisscrosses and beckons us to follow him, to adopt his way, to seize this gift of new and eternal life. First is someone who happens upon it almost by accident, a worker in a field. He discovers this buried treasure. There were no banks in the ancient world, and so if you were trying to preserve valuables, you would bury it in a place where nobody else would find it. But there was no principle of finders, keepers, losers, weepers in ancient Palestine. Whoever owned the field owned whatever was found there. That's why when the treasure was discovered, this laborer went, got all that he had, and used it to buy that field. And he did so with joy, because as soon as that field was his, that treasure was his, and he recognized just what he was gaining. Second example is someone who is a seeker, someone who's a searcher, somebody who's hungry for the treasure, and is crisscrossing the ports of the ancient world looking for precious pearls. And as soon as he finds a huge one of enormous value, sells all the other pearls in his collection, sells everything else he has in order to be able to obtain it. So whether we happen upon the kingdom, or whether we've been seeking that kingdom and eventually discover it, the response of both is to recognize what it is and to act. Three essential lessons. The first is the surpassing treasure of the kingdom. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that where your treasure is, there will your heart be. He really wishes for us to set our hearts on him and the kingdom that he brings. Second, is that that kingdom doesn't come cheap. We have to sell. We can't have the kingdom and have everything else too. We need to seek the kingdom first, and everything else we really need will be given us besides, but we will have our true treasure. Part of this cost is this willingness to leave other good things, not just sinful things, but good things behind, to obtain something greater. A choice that must continuously be made. It's not a once and for all thing. It's a renewed reality. We do that by embracing Jesus' way, turning the other cheek, loving enemies, praying for persecutors, picking up a cross daily, plucking out eyes or chopping off hands and feet if they cause us to wander from that gift. But to be willing to pay that cost with joy, because we recognize what a bargain it is. And that's the third point. That even though there's a steep price tag, even though it's going to cost us perhaps everything else initially, it's worth it. because what we get is so much greater than what we give. Our whole lives, sisters, are meant to be that sign of those who live this parable. Whether we were shocked by a vocational call, or whether we had been searching for whatever God was wanting for us for quite some time, when we discovered who the Lord really was and what he was asking of us, we left a lot behind in the world. We become a tangible sign of others, to others, excuse me, of what this option for the kingdom is, and at the same time, the joy of it. That when we find Christ is the pearl of great price, we recognize in him is true love, is true freedom, is true wealth, is true life. St. Ignatius is one who happened upon this kingdom. He was one very much seeking after worldly things, in a special way worldly vanity, till he had his left leg blown up by a cannonball in battle. He convalesced in his castle in Loyola, and when there were not the types of knight errantry that he would wish to read, he was brought a life of Christ and some lives of the saints. And that led to his deep conversion. He started to see in the lives of Francis and Dominic and others just how they had found the pearl of great price. Gave everything to obtain that pearl, and they were the ones with lasting happiness. So he asked, why can't I do what Domingo de Guzman did? Why can't I do what Francisco de Assis did? So he started over time to be capable of making that choice, and that choice was very costly for him. He was already a very much a grown man, and about the age of 30 he went back to the beginning of high school. Well, actually, went back to sit with some second graders to learn some basic Latin grammar. It was very humbling for him, who was so concerned with vanity before, to have to sell so much of his former livelihood in order to follow the Lord on the arduous path of acquisition. But that's what he did. Eventually went to the Sorbonne. It was there that he met so many of the other founding Jesuits, and he helped inspire them to seek and obtain that pearl of great price, that treasure buried in a field together with him. When he eventually wrote his spiritual exercises, it all focused on this choice. He describes it in a military image of which of two standards, which of two banners will we stand under, what will we adopt. We can easily reframe it in economic terms. Which of the two treasures are we really going to seek? What will we choose? St. Ignatius for centuries has been helping people to place their hearts where the true treasure is, objectively, in God. As we come forward to Mass today, the Lord places this choice before us each day. He gives himself and asks us to choose him. And we make that choice. That is our logike latreia, the only fitting worship that makes sense, when we offer our sacrifices together with Christ to the Father. How important it is each day to come and recognize what that sacrifice is. I may have mentioned to you at some other time what I do regularly during the day when I hit various walls or contradictions. Rather than get distracted by them, I turn to the Lord and say, Lord, if you had said that in order to be able to receive you this morning, I needed to encounter this cross, would I choose it? And that's always a no-brainer for me. That if we knew the cross was the cost of the Eucharist each morning, we would choose it, because what we have to endure is nothing in comparison to what we gain. Let us today recognize that we're about to receive this pearl and this treasure, which will be buried within us in such a way that it's meant to make not just our faces glow like Moses, but our hearts and our whole lives, so that we might give witness that we truly are the richest people in the world by the joy of this having been acquired by the one we now seek.